You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hey there, everyone. This is Scott McKay from XMY Communications, and you're tuned in to another episode of the Chick Whisperer podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a little bit different of a subject than we usually talk about on this show, but it ties right in with you being a man who's attracting women, satisfying women in the bedroom and the like, and that is your high performance as a man. High performance manhood is the topic of the day, and I've brought in who I think has to be probably the best guy for this job. His name is Matt Cook, and he is the author of Testosterone Rewind, among many, many other interesting and provocative programs out there. And he is from Washington, D.C. Matt, welcome, man.
Hey, thank you very much, Scott.
You know, it's great to have you here because this isn't going to be just another show about dating advice. This is going to be kind of off the grid a little bit for folks like us who work with that sort of thing on a day-to-day basis. What we're going to talk about today is raising your testosterone, getting your health in order, avoiding the wrong potatoes, among other things. And you just have this wealth of information to share. I've got to ask you, and it isn't typical for me to ask guys questions like this on this show, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it anyway. How did you get into talking about things like leftovers and potatoes and inflammation and testosterone and cholesterol and diabetic issues all surrounding men's sexual performance? How did that all occur to you? Because you're like the only guy I know out there talking about all this stuff in context.
I started working with guys who had ED after I fixed my own ED problem, erectile dysfunction. And originally we were attacking it the way I did, which really works great and solves the problem that is caused by desensitization, which is a sort of a brain penis problem. But we started realizing that thousands of guys also had multiple medications that they were taking for diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke that they might have had, cholesterol, on and on. So these guys have these chronic health problems. And we found that when we put them on a different and a very specific type of diet and lifestyle, a lot of these problems went away and their ED got fixed and they started having great performance. Like I just got a note from a guy 2 days ago who said his testosterone was, he's only 34. He said his testosterone went, it doubled over the past 5 months and it's still going up, you know. And it's a result of this stuff that we discovered working with over 20,000 guys.
So what's the relationship between these prescription drugs that the big pharmaceutical companies would want you to take and what you're telling guys to do?
I don't tell anybody not to take their medication. What I do is I tell guys, if you do this, this, and this, you're not going to need the medication. So now you can go to the doctor, you can get your medication reduced and then eliminated, which is really good because a lot of the high blood pressure medication kills libido and kills erections. So right off the bat, you've got a guy who's got some issues with performance and not feeling a strong sex drive, and his medication is really killing his sex life. So if he can get the blood pressure normalized, he won't need that medication anymore, and that's just a great win for him. So we try to work it that way, Scott.
Okay, I guess you better give us an example of this, this, and this.
Yeah, well, there's alpha blockers, for example, that men are given for prostate inflammation or for high blood pressure, and they absolutely ruin erections. That's one of the many side effects that they have. Well, if a guy will cut out certain things from his diet, he can actually get his blood pressure to become normal, and then he doesn't need that alpha blocker anymore. In fact, he'll have low blood pressure because the pills are going to make his blood pressure too low, so he has to have the doctor reduce or eliminate the medication. So that really beats the heck out of just taking pills to lower blood pressure. Here's an interesting thing about this, too. When you lower your blood pressure with pills, you don't actually live any longer. You're not actually healthier. But the drug companies, they don't really want men to know that. A huge study showed that men who controlled their blood pressure with pills were no healthier and didn't live any longer than men who just had the high blood pressure and didn't control it with pills. Isn't that interesting?
Why do you think that is?
Because the cause of high blood pressure has not been fixed by the pill. The pill lowers the blood pressure, but that's a symptom. There's an underlying cause, and this cause is also the cause of ED in guys. It's the cause of diabetes. It's the cause of prostate problems, having to get up and pee all the time. It's the cause of all of these health issues, these chronic health issues. They all have the same cause. When we fix the cause, I always like to say, fix the cause, fix the cock. Fix everything.
So I'm guessing that causes inflammation.
It's inflammation in the body. And this is known by scientists. It's year after year, because all I do, I spend hours every day reading studies and helping guys with this. In the last 4 or 5 years, year after year, scientists have come out with these very clear studies that show that inflammation in the body are responsible for all these health issues. And if you fix the inflammation, you fix all these health issues. But it hasn't reached the doctors yet. It hasn't reached the average guy yet. It's going to be years and years before the doctors get the message, because the drug companies make so much money, $30 billion just for diabetes alone, $30 billion. And that's just that one problem. They make so much money on this, and they basically pay for the all the studies. They pay for the research. So men aren't really getting that message. But if you get rid of the inflammation, all these health problems can disappear, and you can have incredibly high testosterone, incredible performance, and live a long time, much longer than you would otherwise.
So what causes this inflammation? Why is this such a pandemic in today's society?
It starts in the gut. Did you know that 75% of your immune system is actually in your gut, in your small intestine, in your large intestine?
I actually did know that.
Our entire, good for you, man. Yeah, it's our, like most of our immune system is in our gut. And what happens is the gut gets inflamed, and it gets inflamed from food problems, from technology problems, from things in the environment. It gets inflamed.
Could you give us some examples of that? Because that was a big mouthful. People are going to go, what? Technology problems, environment, and diet all in my gut? Give us some examples, Matt. You got to.
Okay. So here's a great example. You're drinking a bottle of water, and you think water's better than soda, right? Which it is. But that bottle has phthalates in it. That bottle has these plasticizers that are leaching into the water. And those chemicals get into your small intestine, your large intestine, and they disrupt the bacteria and the yeast and all the things there, and they cause inflammation in the gut. Even the amount in bottled water, that's a big problem, actually. That's just one example. Now you're going to go into you get a shower and you're using the shampoo. The shampoo actually has chemicals that go right through your skin. It isn't like the shampoo just goes over your skin. It goes into your body through your skin. And then those chemicals that your body has to deal with, and there's an immune reaction against those chemicals, especially parabens. They're in almost all shampoo. This causes endocrine problems, it causes low testosterone, and it causes inflammation in the body as a response to the toxin. That's just one example. We go through a whole day putting toxins on our skin and into our body. Yeah, and that causes the inflammation, especially in the gut. And a lot of us have way, way too much vegetable oil. Vegetable oil is a major source of inflammation. And I'm talking about stuff that would be in your French fries, stuff that would be in your processed food and your bottled salad dressings. If you cut that stuff out, you're going to already be able to raise your testosterone and improve your health, because you're going to be doing something very anti-inflammatory that way. That stuff has what's called omega-6 fatty acids, which increase inflammation. So when you cut out the bottled dressings, you cut out the stuff like French fries, because they have a lot of that vegetable oil in it, you're already going to be cutting down the inflammation. But if you have the inflammation, and if you have chronic health problems, you do, including being overweight, if you have those health problems, that means your gut is inflamed, and your gut is supposed to be like kind of like a brick wall. It's supposed to keep everything in your gut that's supposed to be in there and not let it leak out into the rest of your body. When it's inflamed, the cells start pulling apart, and they open up gaps in the gut, and you've got bacteria, viruses, molds, toxins that leak out of the gut and into the rest of the body. That's what causes your whole body to be chronically inflamed. So when that stuff hits your arteries start getting stiff. And when arteries are stiff, it increases your blood pressure. When those toxins hit your penis have these chambers in them that are supposed to get stiff when you have an erection, they also get inflamed. Now those cells, they're not getting stiff anymore, so the penis just sort of flops around. It's not your fault, but you're not getting good erections. So the inflammation affects our whole bodies.
Wow, that's fascinating, because there's so much going on there. You hear a lot nowadays about probiotics, which supposedly enhance the gut and what's going on down there. What are your thoughts on that? Should we be drinking more kombucha or what?
Yeah, probiotics are really helpful. People think that probiotics are supposed to recolonize the gut with friendly microbes. They don't really do that. But what they do is they kind of help the good microbes balance out against the bad microbes. So probiotics are hugely beneficial. There are certain ways that you can take probiotics, and there are certain ones that you can be taking. For example, a lot of people think that when they eat yogurt, they're getting probiotics, but a lot of yogurt has very, very low count of active bacteria. So I don't recommend just regular sugary yogurts. That's not really a great source of probiotics. A really good source of them are going to be real genuine sauerkraut, which now more and more you can get in the refrigerated section. Just have a tablespoon or two of sauerkraut every day. That's a tremendously beneficial probiotic. And I've had guys say that they've had better morning wood, better erections, feeling better, and even their blood pressure has gone down just with that simple step of introducing some natural real sauerkraut in their diet every day.
Yeah, because the price of kombucha is amazing. You can make it yourself at home, but man, it's like $3.50 for a 16-ounce bottle here. And then we have this stuff in the refrigerated section with the juices. That's probiotic juice. That seems interesting also. I know we were giving that to our two kids and drinking some of it ourselves and seeing some good results from that.
Yeah, kombucha, actually, unless you eat the SCOBY, you're not really getting that much in terms of bacteria, in terms of microbe count. There's kefir can be good. Or some people pronounce it water kefir. Kefir can be good. There's water kefir and there's dairy kefir that can be okay. If you want to spend a little bit of money, there's some of the capsules and some of the mixes that are available on Amazon or commercially have a great number of friendly microbes that can be very helpful.
How do we know when we're inflamed? And how do we know when we're getting less inflamed?
Well, you can look in the mirror. So if you've got fat around your middle that you can't get rid of, then you've got an inflammation problem. It's not like you just can't control yourself and you're just eating way too much. It actually has to do with inflammation. Almost all the time when we get someone's inflammation down, they automatically start losing weight, and especially they start losing fat around their middle and they start gaining lean muscle mass. And as you know, muscle weighs more than fat, so they actually start resculpting their body. But being overweight, not being able to lose your weight, is a symptom of inflammation. Another one is blood pressure. If your blood pressure is high, that means that you have an inflammation problem. If you've got a prostate issues, if you're peeing all the time, that means you have an inflammation problem. So all of the common chronic diseases and things that we're suffering from are a result of inflammation.
Okay, so in addition to eating your sauerkraut and not eating vegetable oils, what are some other ways that we can reduce inflammation relatively quickly? Because I can hear just a lot of other guys panicking on the end of their computers about this. Like, I got to do something about this. This is who I am. This describes me perfectly. How do I get this under control?
Another thing you can do is you can start eating fewer toxins in your food. And we don't really think about what these toxins are, but here's a good example. For a lot of people, wheat and corn are toxic. And there's been a lot of research that showed that by at least reducing or cutting out wheat and corn from your diet, you can actually reduce the inflammation even in a few days. We've had people that have diabetes that are actually being able to get off of their pills simply because they stopped eating wheat and corn. So you can eat white rice. People think that brown rice is healthy, but actually white rice is healthier because brown rice has the bran, which causes an inflammation reaction in the body, whereas white rice doesn't have that and doesn't have those proteins, doesn't trigger an immune response. So cutting out the wheat and corn and substituting rice is a good idea. Another one is potatoes. Potatoes, tomatoes, eggplant, and peppers can be very inflammatory in the body. There actually are chemicals in those. They're all in the nightshade family. So we're talking about white potatoes. We're talking about bell peppers, jalapeno peppers, all the delicious peppers, unfortunately, eggplant, and tomatoes. And if you cut those out for a little while, you may find that you start feeling a lot better. And if you actually measure your blood pressure in the morning, you might find your blood pressure starting to fall simply from not eating those foods. They're all in the nightshade family, and they all have a lot of toxins in them that are kind of hard to deal with and cause inflammation in our gut, leading to inflammation in the whole body.
Now, you were talking about in one of your recent newsletters the whole idea that the whole grain bread may actually be worse for you than eating white bread because of what is in it and how that's tied to inflammation. Could you comment on that a little bit more? Because it's fascinating. I swear, you know, as an aside here, before I let you off and running on this, I love your newsletters, yet I find them so incredibly frustrating. because it's so counterintuitive compared to almost everything we've ever been taught about what to eat by our doctors and by nutritionists and, you know, the eat your four food groups in school charts that we saw. So I can't wait to hear this. And you were talking about the white bread, and I think you were talking about something called lectins relative to all this. Could you enlighten us?
Yeah, lectins are basically found in a lot of foods, but principally they're found in beans, including lentils and peanuts. People don't realize peanuts are actually in the bean family, and lectins are found in wheat and corn. And lectins cause a lot of gut inflammation. And what happens is the molecules in lectins go through the gut into the body, and the body starts mounting a general immune response. And it actually starts attacking its own joints. So that's one of the sources of arthritis. It also starts getting inflamed. All these tissues, especially tendons, ligaments, start getting inflamed in a reaction against the lectins. And if you compare a piece of wheat, whole wheat bread with white bread, the whole wheat bread is much higher in lectins than the white bread. The white bread is just empty calories. The whole wheat bread has those lectins in them, so it's going to cause an immune reaction. I'm not saying to eat white bread. I don't eat white bread. But it's healthier, really, to eat the white bread than the whole wheat bread because you're not getting those proteins that have those lectins in them.
So we're just laying off bread in general. That's the best thing to do, right?
It's really the best thing to do. Yeah, it really helps your gut heal. And corn as well. The thing that is a fad today is gluten-free. Gluten is a bad thing for most people because it increases gut inflammation. But corn also increases gut inflammation, even though it doesn't have gluten in it. So you have to realize there's a whole class of these toxins in wheat and corn that you want to avoid. It's not just gluten.
I saw a documentary not too long ago that was about corn, and these guys were seeking to prove how much of our body mass is actually made up of corn here in the United States. You know, the whole idea of you are what you eat. And Americans, North Americans, just eat an incredible amount of corn, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's also you are what your food eats. So if the cow eats corn, then it's the way you're getting the corn to the cow. I would rather have meat from a cow that's eating grass because cows are supposed to eat grass. They're not supposed to eat corn. That's one reason why when you eat grass-fed meat, you're getting all these wonderful fats from the cow because the cow is concentrating the grass for you, and that introduces all these wonderful types of fats which are healthy for you. But if you eat fat from a cow that's eaten corn, you're indirectly eating that corn, and that fat is really not that healthy for you.
Yeah, that's how deep this rabbit hole goes, right?
Yeah, you're eating what the animal eats.
It's amazing.
So,
yeah, that reminds me, you also brought up the idea of pasture-raised chickens and the eggs that they produce.
Yeah, pasture-raised chickens are chickens that are put out in coops out in the open sky, in the open air. Generally, they're temporary coops because the chickens are going to hunt and peck. They're going to eat the seeds and the grass. They're going to eat the little bugs. And then they're going to eat some corn and grain they're given. And then the next day, they're going to move that chicken coop over to a new patch of grass. That's pasture-raised chickens. Their eggs are so much more healthful than the eggs of factory-raised or barn-raised chickens, including so-called free-range chickens. So I always look for pasture-raised eggs because they're much healthier. They have all these micronutrients that factory-farmed chickens don't have. And when we eat chicken, people think that eating chicken is healthy. In reality, I hate to do this to you, Scott, but chicken is not that healthy because chicken is very high in inflammatory omega-6 fatty acids. And so what we try to do is we don't eat that much chicken, maybe once a week or once every other week, and we try to eat that pasture chicken because then when that chicken is ready, they can slaughter that chicken and that's healthier. It has a healthier fat profile than factory-raised chickens. But even so, chicken is really not nearly as healthy as red meat because the fat profile of chickens is inflammatory.
You know what I've noticed is developing countries don't tend to have nearly high the incidences of things like diabetes and high blood pressure and some of these first world, if you want to call them, diseases. I'm tempted to ask you about that. Do you find that also? Is there a real honest correlation there?
I travel a lot around the world, and one of the reasons, as you do, yeah, and I know you go to a lot of exotic places, as do I, and what I do is I do research projects on my travels, and the research is about long-lived people and what makes them live a long life, and I found some common factors. So one of those common factors certainly is in water. They don't drink a lot of water from plastic bottles, and a lot of them drink mineral water. They drink water from springs or spring water. That's very common. I think there's a lot of nutrients in water that we're missing when we don't drink good spring water on a regular basis. Another thing that they eat in many countries is they eat a lot of pickled vegetables or fermented foods. We were talking about probiotics earlier. The Japanese are one of the longest-lived people on Earth. In fact, they're the longest-lived people, really, of any country in the world. And they eat a lot of pickled vegetables. They eat pickled things all the time. And they're real pickled things, not fake pickled things. In the Western world, what a lot of times we do is our food companies make fake pickles, which are just vegetables and vinegar and sugar. But we're talking about fermented foods. That's called natural pickling. And people that live a long time and countries that live where they have a lot of long-life people eat a lot of pickles. Another thing that they do is they eat foods that are not processed, not nearly as much as the foods that we eat. They don't get their foods from McDonald's and Burger King and from the prepared food section in the market. They tend to make their own food at home. When you cook at home, you eat food that's cooked at lower temperatures because restaurants and supermarket food is prepared at high temperatures. So you're eating food that's prepared at low temperatures, and you're eating very wholesome food when you know what's in it, and you feel a lot better. And then there's one more thing, which is something that we don't think about enough, which is snacking. It turns out it is much, much better to eat a meal and then don't eat anything to your next meal. Snacking between meals is really not helpful at all. In fact, it harms our health a great deal. We really seem to be better off eating less frequently.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys are like, well, you should eat 8 small meals a day. That never worked for me.
Yeah, it keeps your insulin going. It keeps your body in this digestive mode, in this anabolic mode all the time. And it's really very unhealthy. And when you go in your travels around the world, you find people eat once or twice a day, don't you? And they're not snacking.
Exactly. And yet that's contrary to all the advice we're given. If you read some of the mainstream dieting advice, they're going to say, oh, don't eat just once a day because that'll put your body in this quote-unquote starvation mode. Meanwhile, other people will say, no, you know what? It comes down to how many calories you eat no matter when you eat them.
It doesn't come down to how many calories you eat. It is really when you eat them. One really good practice is to postpone breakfast. So you're eating breakfast later and later until pretty soon you're just eating lunch and dinner with no breakfast. Now you're going to be in about a 16-hour window of intermittent fasting. So you're eating for 8 hours, lunch and dinner, and then you're eating again the next day after about 16 hours. Well, there's something in your body called autophagy, which is basically your cells clean up all the detritus and all the trash that's in the cells, and you need to not eat for a while for that to happen. That is a dramatic way to improve your health, to lower the inflammation, lower your chances of getting cancer, because your body will then get rid of all the detritus and the toxins in that period when you're not eating. So we see this in long-life people. They don't eat all the time. They give themselves plenty of time when they're not eating.
Now, see, that is absolutely contrary to everything everybody's ever heard about breakfast being the most important meal of the day, and you should eat right when you get up, and then, you know, maybe not eat such a big dinner, right?
Well, you could eat breakfast and lunch, but then you could skip dinner, okay, which is fine. And it may even be a better idea because it's a good idea not to eat before you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, your organs kind of partially shut down in this rest period. And if you have a lot of sugars and proteins and fats in your body, there's sort of pickling in that stuff for a long time before it gets processed further when you wake up. So it would be a really good idea if you didn't have much of a dinner or any dinner at all. But there's a social side to life, and we all love to eat dinner with our family and friends, and that's important too.
Now, eating before you go to bed also jacks up your triglycerides, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really, really does. It does a real number on triglycerides, absolutely.
Talk to me about triglycerides. How can we lower those naturally?
It's very easy to lower triglycerides. What you can do is you can reduce the trash carbohydrates, which we've talked about. And if you do that, your triglycerides fall. It's inevitable. Triglycerides are sugars being converted into fats. So when you have too much sugar that you're eating, your body doesn't want to waste it, so it converts it into fat. And the mechanism is triglycerides. That's the transportation mechanism for the sugar being turned into fat. So if you eat fewer carbohydrates, your triglycerides will fall. And your blood pressure will generally fall if you have high blood pressure. It's one of the easiest ways to reduce your blood pressure.
So these guys are probably saying, well, no, it's not like I eat a bunch of chocolate cake and pound down Snickers bars, but my triglycerides are still through the roof. What's up?
Yeah, it's because you're eating cereal in the morning, and then you're having a piece of fruit, and then you're eating a banana for a snack around 11 because you're really hungry. Then you're eating a sandwich at lunch, which has bread on it, and that's your day. So if you add up how many carbs you're eating, and especially these trash carbs, it's really quite large. It's a large percentage of your calories. So what we do is we get guys to eat a lot more healthy fat, really, really good healthy fat, which is coconut fat, coconut oil, some olive oil, grass-fed butter, butter from grass-fed cows, and fat from animals that are fed on good, healthy grass. And then that fat replaces the carbohydrates. So you eat a lot of fat and fewer carbohydrates, and that's actually what lowers your triglycerides and lowers your blood pressure.
Now, a lot of guys listening to this are coming from North America, Western Europe, down under, and they're going, well, geez, Matt, everything you're telling me to eat, all this grass-fed, pasture-raised, organic this is five times as much money to eat as eating normally. Are there any shortcuts there so you don't have to spend all this money on all of this hormone-free, gluten-free specialty diet?
Yeah, so if you wanted to, what you can do instead is you can eat lean, factory-raised meats, like you can eat chicken and beef and lamb and pork that's factory-raised, and just eat the lean cuts, and then increase your intake of grass-fed butter and coconut oil, which is perfectly fine too. Grass-fed butter is pretty inexpensive. A few years ago, you couldn't find it anywhere, but now it's everywhere. If you get the Kerrygold brand or Icelandic butter, it's grass-fed butter, and there is actually some in the U.S. that's grass-fed. It'll say so on the label. And that way, you can get your fat from healthy sources and still get lean protein, and you pay a lot less for beef or chicken or lamb that's factory-raised. In that case, you don't want to have the fat. You want to have the lean cuts and then add the fat in through the grass-fed butter and coconut and olive oil.
Yeah, I think another thing that goes unsaid a lot of times is how much better stuff tastes when it's organic, natural, not being pumped full of hormones. One thing that's conspicuous by its absence in our conversation is wild-caught seafood as opposed to farm-raised seafood, where I know there's just a wealth of toxins in the farm-raised version. I mean, if you're used to going to the supermarket and buying factory-raised beef, and you go actually eat a hamburger made of grass-fed, completely natural beef that was raised and slaughtered at a farm, you're going to be like, oh, so that's what beef tastes like. It just tastes beefier. Shrimp tastes shrimpier when it's caught in the wild instead of farm-raised. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed that, but put that to the test. The eggs just taste better. The butter tastes better. It's actually worth it if you've got the means to go buy the food just to have better tasting food. But I do thank you for that advice that'll help guys keep the cost down, because I think that's important to so many people. You got to eat healthy, but you can't go broke doing it.
Another thing that you could think about is sardines. They're very inexpensive and very healthy. If you want to get canned sardines, get them from Norway, because the Norwegian sardines are cold water fish. They're going to have a lot more of those wonderful omega-3s, DHA and EPA, and they're very healthy and inexpensive. Another thing I love is frozen fish, because the fish that's frozen now is just frozen at sea. It's individually packaged. It's incredibly fresh when it's frozen, and it's rather inexpensive. So we can get wonderful wild salmon. I only get wild fish, just as you pointed out. Wild salmon or cod, very inexpensively. And it's very healthy and it tastes really good and it's not expensive.
Yeah, they do tilapia here.
Oh, I would never touch tilapia. It's all farmed. I hate to say it, it's kind of disgusting if you look at how they raise tilapia. I never go for any shrimp except wild shrimp. Here's a tip. Gulf shrimp, if it's in the U.S., Gulf shrimp is always wild. And you can also get shrimp inexpensively, which is also wild. So Gulf shrimp or Argentine shrimp if you want to have shrimp. But don't have farm shrimp. It's horrible. It's disgusting. The stuff they put in and how they raise them, you would never want to eat it once you see what they're doing.
It's kind of like having worked at McDonald's before, right? Something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Why are there so many more diabetic people in the United States nowadays? What's going on there?
They're listening to the government. They're listening to their doctors about what they should eat and the medications. And the food pyramid and the food recommendations are all very, very pro-inflammatory. And when they get the inflammation starting in the gut, the whole body becomes inflamed. And diabetes is the next thing that happens. It happens in many, many men and women as a result of the inflammation. So when we go on this type of diet with these recommendations we're talking about, the diabetes oftentimes disappears, it reverses, and then the man is able to get off of those diabetes medications. He goes to his doctor, his A1C is lower and lower, and his doctor will take him off those medications. It's wonderful.
Wow, that's fascinating. As I sit here drinking water out of a plastic bottle.
Oh my God, no. Don't drink out of a plastic bottle.
Where do you get drinking water that's not in a plastic bottle? You just filter your own at home?
Yeah, just filter your own at home.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to go. But I'll tell you, drinking water is awesome for me.
Oh, yeah.
Just drinking water in general and laying off the alcohol.
Well, you know what I do? And I don't work out. I walk around all day. I have my whole life structure to walk around all day. I don't like sitting anymore. So
sitting is the killer.
Yeah. So, but it's not just sitting. It's not just standing. You have to walk around. What I do is I have dictation. I made it all a big part of my work now. So I don't sit at a keyboard. I do everything with Dragon. And I'm working on a book this morning. I'll have the book done in 3 or 4 days. I can dictate 11,000 words an hour. And so in 5, 6, 7 hours, I'll have the book done. I'm not sitting there on my keyboard hour after hour. I'm not sitting. I'm walking around. And then I have an Apple Watch. You can use a Fitbit. And you can make sure you walk 10, 12,000 steps a day. Even if you're home during the day working, you can still get 5, 6 miles of exercise in every day. And it feels really, really good. And it's really easy. So that's what I do. I use a Bluetooth headset for my dictation.
Yeah. For me, if I tried to do that, none of my books or none of my newsletters would be written in English.
No, I have someone proofreading them. I have someone proofreading. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have someone proofreading it. But I'm so much more productive. I pay $8 an hour for someone to proofread my stuff.
Well, that's really a good word. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm doing dictation without the punctuation, then I use Brev.com, which charges, as you probably know, $60 an hour of actual content, which is still quite reasonable. And then I still give it to the proofreader, but they do a pretty good job.
The last thing I want to talk about before we close out this show is this whole idea of not eating leftovers. You were talking about how leftovers are the killer, and it has to do with histamines in the foods. And I always think of histamines relative to allergies as allergens. Could you talk about that whole idea of not eating leftovers and the histamines and everything like that?
Some people are not sensitive to histamines, but a lot of people are, and they may never know it. Histamines build up in food as soon as the food is basically harvested, especially animal products, fish and meat and cured meats, but also in fermented foods like sauerkraut. So there's always a downside to everything, right?
Yeah, you just told us to eat a bunch of sauerkraut, Matt. What's up with that?
Some people are sensitive to histamines, and histamines are accumulating in foods that experience bacterial proliferation and foods that are killed like fish or meats, because the histamine can leak out of the cells and through a whole bunch of chemical reactions can increase as the food is left in the refrigerator. So you might want to see if you're sensitive to histamines, because that can really be the cause of your underlying health problem of inflammation. And so if you want to try avoiding leftovers and avoiding the fermented vegetables for maybe 2 to 3 weeks, you can then see if some of your health issues clear up. You can see if your blood pressure falls. You can see if you start losing some weight, if you're pulling in the belt a little bit more in the morning. Those are the signs that you're doing good things for yourself, even if you don't eat any less. Probably 10% of the population might be sensitive to histamines and might have a problem with them. And so that can result in a lot of inflammation, and cutting it out isn't very difficult.
Well, let's say, for example, you're on allergy meds, antihistamines, because you get spring allergies or what have you. That would be a clue that you would be sensitive to histamines, wouldn't it?
It's quite possible, yes. Plus, there's a whole category of medications that actually interfere with our natural ability to get rid of histamines. There's a chemical in our bodies which fights histamines and gets rid of them, neutralizes them. But there are pharmaceutical medications which make that chemical not work. So then if we're taking medications, there's a whole list of them, those medications interfere with our ability to neutralize the histamines in the food. And that's a real problem. So that's another reason why I think a goal of yours should be to get off all medications, not to just stop the use of the medications, but to use some of the things we've talked about and some other things to actually not need them anymore. Because those medications cause a lot of problems that you're not even aware of.
You know, we could sit here and give the whole list of them, but pretty much it's all of them at some point. Every medication you're on, you want to get off of it if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about foods in the refrigerator as leftovers, building up and racking up all these histamines. I can only imagine what happens when you chow down on the pizza for breakfast that you left out all night the night before.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. No doubt. Listen, I want to let guys know where they can find out everything they need to know about what you've been talking about, because really we're just scratching the surface. Guys, obviously you figured out that Matt knows what he's doing. This is revolutionary stuff that's going to help you live longer, help you achieve higher performance as a guy. And all of you, myself included, have to be listening to this thinking, man, what have I been doing to myself? This explains so much. Even though what you're talking about is weird and strange compared to everything we've ever heard ever before, it rings a lot truer. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a fan of your work, is if you just try some of this and you start seeing the results, you'll be like, wow, you know, this is the truth. Matt's got a program called Testosterone Rewind. I want you to go take a look at it, because it isn't only about testosterone. It's about your health and your high performance as a guy. And as I'm sitting here saying this, I mean, there's so many crazy supplements and so much snake oil out there that promises all of this. You're not talking about any of that. You're talking about good sense. You're talking about modifying how you eat. And there's some good information there just when you go look at it. So I've created the URL, as usual, www.thechickwhisperer.com/rewind. That's www.thechickwhisperer.com/rewind. And when you guys go check that out, I think you're going to find a lot more interesting information that goes above and beyond what we've talked about. Definitely sign up for Matt's newsletter. It's going to piss you off, but it's also going to save your life. It's one of those love-hate relationships with my email inbox I have whenever I see an email from you in it. But great stuff. And I really appreciate you coming on, Matt, and just giving us nonstop actionable material from the get-go. This has been great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, guys, if you like the show, please go to iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to leave us a review. And also be sure to click a 5-star rating. It just takes 1 second if you like what you hear. Go ahead and write me at scott@deservewhatyouwant.com when you do that, so I can show my appreciation to you in return. And until I talk to you again on the next episode, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer Podcast is copyright 2009 by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the XMY Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.